Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lindsay W., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Houston, Texas. Today is Thursday, April 4th, 2024, and today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in the chapter Bill's Story on page 12 in the third paragraph. That statement hit me hard. Through one paragraph ending, I stood in the sunlight at last, and will be commenting on one paragraph. Today's readers are, for the 12 steps, Donna M., the 12 traditions, Joni Y., and the readers of the text are Carolyn S., Martha Z., and Katie G. Our newcomer greeter is Reva P., and the second, our host this morning, is Pete B. The reference numbers for yesterday, Wednesday, April 3rd, are 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 21,282, that's 21282, and then for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 21,283, 21283. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. So I will now ask Donna M. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning. I'm Donna M. from North Carolina, a recovering compulsive overeater. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought to prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact of God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Donna M., and I will now ask Joni Y. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Joni Y., compulsive overeater from Connecticut. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve, and I pass.
Thank you, Joni Y. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press *1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press *1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. So today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in the chapter Bill's Story on page 12, the third paragraph. That statement hit me hard. Through one paragraph ending, I stood in the sunlight at last. And I will now ask Carolyn S. to begin reading. Good morning, Carolyn.
Thank you. That statement hit me hard. It melted the icy intellectual mountain in whose shadow I had lived and shivered many years. I stood in the sunlight at last. Oh, that's a beautiful paragraph, and I can relate to it so much. The icy intellectual mountain, that's the judgment before investigation. The I know already. I don't have to, look or be open-minded. And in my case, I knew that there was, there was some sort of bigger power than me, but there certainly wasn't somebody up as my personal God who was listening to me and helping me with something as frivolous as food. If there is a God, he's busy. There's a lot of other stuff going on in the world that's important. But I learned that that's not true. That my higher power is limitless, like beyond my ability to understand. That he can be involved in my life in every single detail at every single moment, and also do the same for every creature in the universe. I mean, it's just mind-boggling. But I had put up this icy intellectual mountain. Like, I thought religion was for suckers. Look at all the masses starving and countries being told, if you're good this time around, you'll get a better a chance next time, or you'll live in heaven, but don't make waves right now because, the rich people don't want you to. That's just the prejudice that I had coming in. And I thought I was smarter than everybody or than a lot because I didn't believe. And then I realized over time that the exact opposite is true. I mean, many brilliant people throughout history have had a strong faith. It doesn't, they're not incompatible, intellectualism and faith. In fact, it makes much more sense that there is a God than that there isn't. You know, I always knew there was something created those beautiful stars at night. Something made the sun come up in the morning, and it certainly wasn't me. And that didn't make me feel less than. It made me feel like part of and equal to. You know, this there's this image of a grain of sand on an OA beach. Okay, so imagine this huge, beautiful tropical beach, and I am one grain of sand. And that could either make me feel very low, or it could make me feel very much the same. And that's how I view it. I am one of many, and I'm no better or worse. And that makes me feel really good. And I stood in the sunlight at last, and that is what it is. It's like, it's the warmth on my skin. It's the sense of peace in my stomach. You know, my gut is calm. I feel safe. And that's what it is to be in the presence of my higher power. Thank you, and I pass.
All right. Thank you so much, Carolyn S., for getting us started this morning. So although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So I will take a list of folks who want to share. Please just give me your first name and then the first initial of your last name. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Leah S.
Melissa C.
Leah, Melissa. Who else?
Lisa C.
Dear F.
Ann P.
I heard someone F.
Dear
Ann P.
Okay. Ann, all right. And I got Ear F. I'll clarify your name when we get to you, but I've got you on the list.
Thank you.
Yes. And who else would like to share?
Francis D. from Michigan.
All right. We can get started. So I've got Leah S., Melissa C., Lisa C., Ear F., Ann P., and Francis D. So if everyone except for Leah S. would please press star 1 to unmute. And Leah, please share with us.
Okay, I got it now. Thank you so much. My name is Leah S. I'm from Brooklyn, New York. And this entire paragraph is a parable to me about everything, but it's the truth. It's me standing with the truth, facing me very, very hard in my face, in my gut, in my soul, in my everything. And I got to personalize God to myself. And I got to personalize everything that I'm learning here in this big book. The first step, the second step, the third step. I got to bring God into my heart and into my food, into my life, into my dealings, into my relationships, and it's got to be that way. Otherwise, I'm just going to pick up. I need to have this power that is greater than a human power to be able to help me. It just doesn't make sense. And the icy intellectual mountain that, you know, we in school we had to learn parables, we had to study proverbs and poems and stuff like that, you know, like, and I always thought, whoa, crazy. And then sometimes I would compare them and I would bring them out. This is not about that. This is not about that at all. This is about Leah and what Leah is and who Leah is. Leah always used to yo-yo with her diet. And yo-yo means one day I was skinny and the next day I was fat. And one day I looked in my closet and didn't have space because I had so many sizes. And one day I just didn't want to speak to you because, you know, shut up, and I didn't even want to curse you. And that Leia had to face me. And all that was being let out in the food. Anything that was frustrating was let out in the food. I had to make that power greater than myself and try it out. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Leia S. from New York. And next up is Melissa C., followed by Lisa C. Good morning, Melissa.
Hey, good morning, Lindsay. Hopefully I'm being heard. Melissa C., recovered compulsive overeating in New York. And, I love how we're really getting an opportunity to see the process of how Bill comes to believe. And I, you know, I have my own experience of my coming to believe, you know, when he says about this icy intellectual mountain, you know, I so relate to that. And, you know, and the thing that cracked it for him was the statement. What statement hit him hard? Like, form your own conception. You don't like the one that you've been given. You've got a problem with the star of the heavens, you know. Okay, Bill, well, make your own then, you know, and start somewhere. And, you know, my experience, though, was I'm a smart ass, and I lovingly to my parents were told that, like, you're not the smartest person in the room, you know, and I always had that, like, attitude about myself, especially growing up. I really wanted to prove myself constantly, and I would, like, you know, I just had that little bit of that attitude about being super, you know, outsmarting people, kind of finding my angle around it. And, you know, and so I had this, you know, when I was told, you know, I've read, like, you form your own conception, I remember thinking, well, that's ridiculous because you just told me that my brain is broken and now you want me to make up God with my own broken brain. Like, I had that, you know, I did not feel warm by using my intellect to not believe in God. In fact, that is the thing that's going to keep me in everlasting darkness. And, you know, and yeah, being the smart, yeah, I think I'm the smartest person in the room, but meanwhile, I'm over 300 pounds. How smart am I, you know? And my experience was in that moment where I thought I'm too smart for this, I'm going to outsmart this idea of forming your own conception. I heard a voice, and, it, you know, for me, God me in the voice that I can hear. And the voice I heard was my dad, and my dad was deceased. And I heard this voice that just said, you want to get well or not? You know, stop being so damn smart. You want to get well or not? And for me, that's where God came in. I wanted to get well. And I was willing to believe because I needed to believe. And thanks for that.
Thanks, Melissa C. from New York. And then next up is Lisa C. Good morning, Lisa.
Hi, good morning. My name is Lisa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. Thank you, everyone, on this meeting. Thank you for the service that you all provide, moderator, and everyone behind the scenes and everyone who shares. And God, please direct my thinking today and help me to share something useful. Like choosing your own conception. So when I finally came into OA, you know, I actually had spent years, like, remodeling what my conception of God was because I kind of had to, like, you know, I thought I was atheist. I thought I was agnostic, but then I still had this sort of, how do I explain it? This, you know, spirit of the universe type thing that was like very unclear, you know, and didn't belong to any religion. You know, when I would like practice yoga or meditate, which those are still things that I did, I would kind of like imagine like a beautiful beach, you know, and I would just be in like a hammock, right? So the hammock was like the higher power, you know, and I was meditating about that for a really long time, because I did grow up with a god who was in white robes, which kind of worked for me for a while when I was a child, you know. And that's fine, you know, because I guess it was sort of like a father concept. But, you know, I think that for me, what I see in this today about choosing my God is that I was imprisoned by my disease. I was imprisoned by many different iterations of the disease. And so I have to embrace many different iterations of God and therefore many different iterations of recovery. And I'm saying that to say that, like, you know, every morning I am astounded to find, or every day, it's not necessarily in the morning that I'm finding this, but every day I'm astounded to find, like, oh, there's this other thing I hadn't thought about before. Oh, God, there's this other prayer I have to have today. You know, oh, you know, God, like, I have to admit today that I'm powerless again, but it's not just the same thing every day. You know, God is not the same for me every day. That's why, for me, my conception of God has to be enormous. I have to find many different ways to pray. Recovery cannot be one size fits all. Even if, like, I find the thing that works, I have to recognize that tomorrow I might have to stretch it different. I might have to seek it out differently. So I think it's a great reminder of the icy intellectual mountains that still can live in my heart and that I'm still uncovering. I'm not arriving anywhere. It's never going to be over. And that's a beautiful thing when I have the right mindset, okay. when I know that God's got this. My higher power has got me and has got this. So I can keep learning. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lisa C. from New Jersey. Okay, and next up, I know I don't have the name correct, so please spell it for us. It's Sheer F. Good morning.
It's Sheer, Sheer. F
thank
as in
you.
Frank, from Northern New
Go ahead,
York.
Please share with us.
Yes, thank you. I love that phrase, the icy intellectual mountain, because that was me. I went from early years of no religion, but no issue with it, to years of religion being used to punish me physically and tell me I was a terrible person, to years of being told that there's no such thing as God and anyone who depends on God is weak, and trying not to take responsibility for their actions. So I didn't believe in God, but that God that I didn't believe in was going to strike me down because I was a terrible person. And I had panic attacks, and I overate, and I just made myself miserable. And I pretty much knew I was going to hell, even though I didn't believe in God. And when I came into OA, I was so ready for OA. I walked into a meeting the night they were reading the fourth step, which most people would have run screaming from the room. And I was just like, oh, in this program, I can cleanse myself of all that crap that I feel like makes me a terrible person. And, you know, it's taken 24 years, but that has really happened. And it's happened through a changing conception of a higher power. At the beginning, when they told me you can choose your own conception, what would work for you, act as if. And I just said, okay, I can't believe in any like humanoid God. It has to be a wave, just a wave. The universe, there's a good direction to follow, and I either follow that direction and things go well, or I don't and things go badly. So I really love the acronym Good Orderly Direction. And even though my concept of God has changed, that always is meaningful to me, this idea of good orderly direction. That's what God does for me. For a long time, I couldn't say God. It had to be higher power because God just had so much rottenness to it. But over the last few years, I've really worked through that, come to a new conception that is totally amorphous. It's not anthropomorphic at all. It's just all around me, in me. And it's a force for goodness, a force for love, a force that can help me do the right thing and not eat the extra food, and not practice my character defects when I try to connect with it. But whenever I've tried to get super intellectual about it and be like, well, there can't be a God because blah, 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 that's when I start to eat again. So I just realized, yeah, I'm an intellectual person, but that's not part of my recovery. My recovery is saying, I have a higher power who wants the best for me. Bad things happen in the world. That's not my higher power's fault. That's the universe. My higher power is here to help me live in the universe abstinently and sanely and hopefully usefully. So thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Sheer F. from New York. And then Anne P., you are next, followed by Francis D. Good morning, Anne.
Hi, this is Anne P. from Maryland. And this passage just hits me between the eyes. It really was a major moment for me in terms of my recovery this time, because I grew up going in a religious home, but it was a very intellectual approach to religion. And this idea of faith has always been, always was kind of problematic for me. When I came into OA, you know, I kind of thought of my higher powers being the positive energy of the universe, which was okay for a start. But I realized that I wasn't relying on that. I wasn't relying on my higher power. I tended to make other people my higher power. And if that person disappeared from my life, I would flounder and I would relapse. This time, what I've realized is my higher power is God, and that I am never alone because I always have my higher power with me. And when I left a shadow of intellect, which I was very good at because I think I'm very smart and I can outwit anything and I can come up with all the reasons why I can have something that I shouldn't have and, make it work intellectually. When I stepped into the sunshine of faith, my recovery has been totally different. I have food neutrality. I have no self-pity. I enjoy my life, and I am constantly grateful for all the blessings that I receive, all the miracles I have around me. And it's made such a difference for me. And as I said, this is probably my favorite passage in the big book because it just changed everything for me. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Anne P. in Maryland. And then our final share in this lineup is going to be Francis D. Good morning, Francis. Francis, star one to unmute. We cannot hear you. Francis. All right. Well, what we will do is I'm going to keep Francis on the list and try her again, but we will take another lineup. And I'll just remind everyone where we are in the book. So we are in Bill's story on page 12, the third paragraph. That statement hit me hard. Through one paragraph ending, I stood in the sunlight at last. So who else would like to share this morning?
Katie G.
Dr. Katie?
Carmela G.
Dr. Carmela, and then I heard someone Z, I believe.
Hillary B, as in boy.
Hey, Hillary. Well, we've got room for plenty more.
Mary B.
Noel J. Noel J.
Gotcha, Noel. We've got Katie, Carmela, Hillary, Mary, and Noel. Anybody else?
Shanista N.
Gotcha, Shanista. All right, so let's go with that lineup. We'll start with Katie G, followed by Carmela G. Hey, Katie.
Hey, Lindsay. Thanks for taking the meeting. Good morning, everyone. This is Katie G, recovered in Boston. And, you know, I got to admit, this whole CYOC thing, choose your own conception, I've been in the rooms of OA for 20 years, and I've grown and changed. And I actually was really struggling with choose your own conception this week, and I did some 10-step work around it because, for me, this book gives me the tenets of how to live my life. And so while I can choose my own conception of God, I'm really very clear that there are some very clear boundaries of who that God should be. Like, love and tolerance of others is my code. Every morning I must be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. The book tells me not to pray for myself, to pray for others. The book tells me to go to social situations and see how I can help others. The book tells me that lack of power is my dilemma. There are so many codes of conduct through which I get to live. And my favorite part about this big book is that it babysits me. And what I mean by that is that we are meant to live in pages 84 to 88. So that means I, as a recovered woman, have a code, have a way to live. It says we are recovered dependent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition. And I learned recently that maintenance means to make it possible for life to exist or to continue. So I'm never cured. I need to do work to make life possible for me to exist or to continue. So again, there is so much flexibility, like call it Buddha, Allah, Jesus, Mary, Joseph, whoever it is or whatever it is. Maybe it's just the experience. Like, we use these 12 steps as a tool, or I use these 12 steps as a tool through which to get to a higher power, God, who I continue to evolve into my understanding. And we're supposed to, you know, live a spiritual program of action. We're not meant to rest on our laurels. And it tells me I have a job to do. My job today is to help others and to carry the message, not to carry Katie's message, but to carry the message. And if you're new or you're suffering, the message is you do not have to suffer from compulsive eating ever again. Right now, at this very moment, you can stop, get a sponsor, go through the work, have a spiritual experience, because God, I'll wrap up with this, God is not making too harsh terms with those who honestly seek. The realm of the spirit is broad, roomy, all-inclusive, never exclusive or forbidding to those who honestly seek. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Katie G. in Massachusetts. And the next up is Carmela G., and then we will try Francis D. again. So good morning, Carmela.
Good morning, Lindsay. So great hearing your voice. Thank you so much for your service. Carmela G., gratefully recovered from New York. This statement, it melted the intellectual mountain. I had an intellectual mountain in disease. I always was a woman of faith, but I kind of thought God was my servant and I was pretty much his equal. So I was righteous, I was judgmental, and when I realized that I was truly an addict and egotistical, and I never thought I was egotistical, it truly hit me hard, and I became desperate and willing to surrender totally to a merciful, loving, superior being, and it wasn't me. And the reality hit me hard. And yet, it just filled me up and enabled me to take the journey. It took away all of my arrogance. And recently, I was introduced to someone, and they looked at me and they said, "There's a radiance about you." And I said, "It is God." Because living in the sunlight of the Spirit is that we are at peace. Peace and joy. And that is what this program has done for this woman who fought it for over 6 decades. So with that, I pass and thank you.
Thank you, Carmela G. from New York. And then Francis D., are you able to unmute?
Francis D., yes.
Great, we hear you. Please share with us.
This is Francis. Are you hearing me?
Yes, you can be heard, Francis.
Thank you. Thank you for your patience. For some reason, I had to just hang up and call back in. I really identify with this passage in terms of my own experience when I entered the regular OA. I was an agnostic and just ignored the higher power. It took me a couple of decades to develop a relationship with a higher power, and I'm very grateful for that. And I recognize that throughout my journey, he has always been with me, and I appreciate that. Thank you for your patience again.
Thank you, Francis D. in Michigan. And next up, we have Hillary B., followed by, Mary B. Hillary, please share with us.
Hi, everybody. This is Hillary in Southern California, grateful to be here. So grateful for everyone sharing. This paragraph has always hit me. For one reason or another, it just would get to me. But it didn't melt my own icy intellectual mountain just because it hit me. And this, these past 11 months that I've been abstinent, I mean really entirely abstinent, is creating a space in me where I'm being shown so many of my character defects, and it's not comfortable and it's not fun, but it's about time that I'm seeing my own arrogance, that I'm seeing that I pride myself on my intellect, that I use it to be superior to other people. But I keep it all in my head, you know, I just, you know, pretend like I'm not superior, like what I show people is that I'm all just humble person, and the truth is I feel superior, and it has kept me separated from my fellows all my life, and I never even knew it, and it has made relationships so difficult for me, and I never even knew it. I thought my relationships were difficult because other people were difficult. And to stand in this sunlight and to be able to see every single day, one more time I'm being arrogant, one more time I'm building myself up like a prideful balloon, one more time I'm picking my husband apart and seeing all of his character defects, which most of them are probably even assets, and I just see them as defects. And to be given a life, at least a vision of a life, and having people who can help me live that vision where I'm just one of many. You guys, Your sharing is so phenomenal. There are so many people in OA who are so smart, so capable of expressing these amazing concepts that are teaching me day after day a different reality than I ever lived in. And who helped me see that there's a God that can guide me, that can teach me how to love myself. And the main thing that I've built myself up for, that I've stood in the icy intellectual, lived in the icy intellectual mountain, is because truly I feel woefully inadequate, totally inadequate. I'm not good
That's
enough.
Fine.
I'm not anything. So thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate the timer too. Thank you.
Thank you, Hillary B. in California. And then next up is Mary B., followed by Noelle J. Good morning, Mary. Mary, star one to unmute.
Well, I was talking away. Sorry about that. Mary B. from Arkansas. How can I say this? This icy intellectual mountain, which has protected me for many years. And I was trying to figure out, well, so why do I need an icy intellectual mountain? And when Bill says, I lived in sheltered, in whose shadow I lived and sheltered many years, he's speaking about fearfulness and feeling unlovable, incapable, uncertain. And I've used intellect to create certainty in my life. If I can have if I create an opinion and create a wall of intellect, I have a wall of certainty, and I don't have to be batted around by worries and woes and difficulties that are out in the world or enter directly into my life. I can protect myself behind this wall of intellect or wall of certainty. I don't think of myself as such an intellect, but I certainly don't want to be living in my heart. So I am learning that it's about surrendering to the lack of certainty and the opportunity to have a real warm-heartedness and a vulnerability living in the world. Kindness and respect and compassion toward myself and toward others. Learning to think well of others rather than assuming out of an arrogance that they're stupid or whatever. It's really about, for me, having a whole different conception of who I am and my role in the world, and that the world and people are good, and like me, we all want to be happy. So surrendering to certainty and intellect and the conceptions that I've lived with is the challenge for me in this program. And I can't do that if I'm not abstinent. And the more clean my abstinence is, the more readily I can put down, I can let down that wall of certainty or intellectual mountain. And I so appreciate these meetings. Gosh, it's amazing how much wisdom can come out of a couple of sentences. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Mary B. in Arkansas. And then we will go to Noelle J., followed by Shanisa N. Good morning, Noelle.
Hi, I'm Noelle J. Can I be heard?
Yes, we can hear you.
Thank you. I'm Noelle J. I'm a compulsive overeater. Grateful to be on the line this morning. One of my very first sponsors and program used to say to me, Noelle, your intellect is getting in the way of your recovery. And I had just started program, like just started program. And I remember her saying that, and it just, like, it was like water just repelling off of me. Like, I had no idea what she was talking about. Over time, I've been able to release that. And it's kind of funny to me now when I think about it, because the mental obsession has been released since I have been in program and been working my program and been abstinent in this program. And to think that my intellect along with my intellect is kind of mixed up with the mental obsession. So of course it was just a little bit misguided, not in alignment with good orderly direction. I'm grateful today. I am able to use my intellect in ways, recovery in this program specifically has allowed me to use my intellect in ways to contribute to the world. And I also really appreciate that in 12-step rooms, like, my intellect and what I've achieved intellectually doesn't really matter, doesn't define me. And I really needed that. I needed a space where it didn't define me, or where it wasn't the thing, the most important thing about me. Because I realized for a lot of years, I used that as a defense mechanism. I used my intellect as a defense mechanism and keeping people, keeping things, keeping my higher power out. The other thing I'm thinking about this morning is sponsoring. I really, really, like, rejected and was super defensive towards sponsoring for a really long time, and I'm having this really spiritual experience with it. And I'm so grateful that in the same way that my intellect is not necessarily something that I need to have any ego about, because it's a gift from my higher power, there's so many things in this program that I have been resistant towards because I didn't understand, because my intellect couldn't make sense of those things. And when I finally just surrendered and did it, I received such amazing gifts and such amazing promises. And I think that kind of like icy intellect, that kind of melting away, is really manifesting right now in my life in terms of sponsoring and really following through to the 12th step. For a long time, I wasn't following through to the 12th step. Creating my own conception of God, like, that has been such a journey. Time. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Noelle J. And where are you calling from this morning?
I'm in Philadelphia.
Awesome. Thank you, Noelle J. in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. All right. And then last in this lineup, I've got Shanista N. Good morning, Shanista. Shanista, star one.
May I be heard?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. Hello, Shanista, the recovered compulsive eater from Texas. And I apologize, I wasn't 100% certain which paragraph we were on. But essentially, Evie opened the eyes to what he said was a novel new idea. And I heard reference to the intellectual mountain. But every single element of this program of recovery, once we're open to it, from the very beginning, when we learn that we're compulsive eaters, that we're some form of an addict, have a disease that we're completely powerless over, that's a novel new idea, that a God of our own understanding is a solution to our problems, that it's a spiritual solution and doesn't really have to do with how smart we are and how well we can figure it out. That's a very novel new idea. And as we work each step and as we continue to live in this program, and definitely as we carry this message to those that still suffer and haven't even been made aware of the very first one, that we're compulsive eaters, this is a disease, and our solution, once we become chronic compulsive eaters, our solution is in this program of recovery. But as we carry that message to the still suffering compulsive eater, we learn even more novel new ideas. And they're just all gifts from a higher power that knows so much more than we could ever know. And when we work this program, we just get little glimmers every single day of something new and amazing that we wouldn't have seen before when we were still in our illness and still in our selfishness and self-centeredness and self-seeking. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Shanika in Texas. All right, so we have time for a couple more shares. So who else would like to share this morning?
Jennifer C.
I got you, Jennifer, and there was someone else.
Lisa BT.
Lisa BT. All right, Jennifer C., please share with us.
Good morning, Jennifer C., recovered in Greenville, South Carolina. Thank you, everybody, for your shares. You know, I always read the big book in light of the big book, right? So we take these sentences and we analyze them, but I always analyze them in light of the rest of the book. And I think about myself as a child in this relationship with God, just like page 62 tells me to do, right? And when you give a child some choices, you know, that toddler that doesn't want to get dressed in the morning, one of the things they teach you to do as a parent is give them some choices, right? Like lay out three pairs of shoes and let them choose. Because when they feel like they have a choice, all of a sudden that strong will gets released because now they're the ones back in control. And for the addict, it's a tall order to surrender, right? When you walk through the door and you realize that there's this whole other mindset that you have to adopt if you want to be free. So when you give the addict the choice and you say to them, hey, listen, how about you just choose your own conception for now? That strong self-will and that fighting melts away. And that's what was released for Bill when he realized that he had a choice. And slowly but surely, once he knew that he had the choice, there was no more reason to fight. His eyes were opened. Scales of pride and prejudice fell from his eyes immediately after he was given a choice. But also what that child needs to know is that there is something very stable and solid to believe in. Children need stability, right? They don't need to call all the shots. And part of the problem for me as an addict is I want to call all the shots. And so what I learned through this process is like, I'm not really defining anything. I'm just surrendering to what is, because another paragraph in light of this one is like, God either is or isn't, right? That's my choice. And so, and then, you know, on the next page, we see more and more surrender. More and more surrender, more and more surrender. But it does start with God meeting us exactly where we are, and he's so brilliant to do that. So thank you all for letting me share. Thank you, God, for just knowing exactly where we are, knowing how to meet us there, and knowing how to keep moving us forward. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Jennifer C. in South Carolina. And then Issa BT, you'll be our final share, and I've got 2 minutes for you if you'd like to take them. Please share with us.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I'd love to take that. My name's Lisa BT. I live in Ontario, Canada, near Toronto, and I am a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And that word recovered to me has a lot to do with the image of ice melting. I've been in program a long time, and before I was in program, I was very much, of the mindset that the icy intellectual mountain was, in fact, the desired state to be in, because it makes you smart, and it makes you, in a sense, safe, I felt, you know, like that I had a rigidity about me that I recognize now, I think, was a kind of form of armor. And I'm so struck by the use of Bill's use of the word sunlight. Because for me, it helps me really see that it's really not the mountain, it's the ice for me. And it's like, what does melt ice? It's sunlight, right? What is sunlight? What is radiance? And I have found that I have learned about those things not through my ideas, even my own conception of a higher power, it's been experiential. And, you know, I've heard people on this line share things which to me say, it's how this feels. What is it? I think there's a line, nothing tastes like abstinence feels, something like that. And when I'm in a rigid state, I'm not able to have those experiences. Something has to loosen enough to be shown, wow, this isn't what I expected. This feels completely different. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lisa BT in Ontario, Canada. All right. Well, thank you to everyone who shared. Thank you to Team Thursday for your service. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. The share ID for today, Thursday, April 4th, is 21,285. And we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Martha Z. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Lindsay. Good morning, my friends in recovery. This is Martha Z., I'm a recovered compulsive overeater by the grace of God from outside of Philadelphia. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.